Ramona and Her Father by Beverly Cleary. Illustrated by Eileen Richard. "Something is wrong. Something awful," whispered Beezus. "I can tell by the way they are talking." Beezus looked so frightened that Ramona became frightened too. What could be wrong? She tried to think what she might have done to make her parents whisper this way, but she had stayed out of trouble lately. She could not think of a single thing that could be wrong. This frightened her even more. She no longer felt like eating chewy little bears. She wanted to know why her mother and father were whispering in a way that alarmed Beezus. Finally, the girls heard her father say in a normal voice, "I think I'll take a shower before supper." This remark was reassuring to Ramona. "What'll we do now?" whispered Beezus. "I'm scared to go out." Worry and curiosity, however, urged Beezus and Ramona into the hall. Trying to pretend they were not concerned about their family, the girls walked into the kitchen where Mrs. Quimby was removing leftovers from the refrigerator. "I think we'll eat at home after all," she said, looking sad and anxious. Without being asked, Ramona began to deal 4 placemats around the dining room table, laying them all right side up. When she was cross with Beezus, she laid her sister's placemat face down. Mrs. Quimby looked at the cold, creamed cauliflower with distaste, returned it to the refrigerator, and reached for a can of green beans before she noticed her silent and worried daughters watching her for clues as to what might be wrong. Mrs. Quimby turned and faced Beezus and Ramona. "Girls, you might as well know. Your father has lost his job." "But he liked his job," said Ramona, regretting the loss of that hamburger and those French fries eaten in the coziness of a booth. She had known her father to change jobs because he had not liked his work, but she had never heard of him losing a job. "Was he fired?" asked Beezus, shocked at the news. Mrs. Quimby opened the green beans and dumped them into a saucepan before she explained. "Losing his job was not your father's fault. He worked for a little company. A big company bought the little company and let out most of the people who worked for the little company." "But we won't have enough money." Beezus understood these things better than Ramona. "Mother works," Ramona reminded her sister. "Only part-time," said Mrs. Quimby, "and we have to make payments to the bank for the new room. That's why I went to work." "What will we do?" asked Ramona, alarmed at last. Would they go hungry? Would the men from the bank come and tear down the new room if they couldn't pay for it? She had never thought what it might be like to not have enough money. Not that the Quimbys ever had money to spare. Although Ramona had often heard her mother say that house payments, car payments, taxes, and groceries seemed to eat up money, Mrs. Quimby somehow managed to make their money pay for all they really needed, with a little treat now and then besides. "We will have to manage as best we can until your father finds work," said Mrs. Quimby. "It may not be easy." "Maybe I could babysit," volunteered Beezus. As she laid out knives and forks, Ramona wondered how she could earn money too. She could have a lemonade stand in front of the house, except nobody ever bought lemonade but her father and her friend Howie. She thought about pounding rose petals and soaking them in water to make perfume to sell. Unfortunately, the perfume she tried to make always smelled like rotten rose petals, and anyway, the roses were almost gone. "And girls," said Mrs. Quimby, lowering her voice as if she was about to share a secret, "you mustn't do anything to annoy your father. He is worried enough right now." "But he remembered to bring gummy bears," thought Ramona, who never wanted to annoy her father or her mother either. Just Beezus. Although sometimes, without even trying, she succeeded in annoying her whole family. Ramona felt sad and somehow lonely, as if she were left out of something important because her family was in trouble and there was nothing she could do to help. When she had finished setting the table, she returned to the list she had begun. It now seemed a long time ago. But what about Christmas? She asked her mother. Right now, Christmas is the least of our worries. Mrs. Quimby looked sadder than Ramona had ever seen her look. Taxes are due in November, and we have to buy groceries and make car payments and a lot of other things. Don't we have any money in the bank? Asked Beezus. Not much, admitted Mrs. Quimby. But your father was given 2 weeks' pay. Ramona looked at the list she had begun so happily and wondered how much the presents she had listed would cost. Too much, she knew. Mice were free if you knew the right person, the owner of a mother mouse, so she might get some mice. Slowly, Ramona crossed out guinea pig and the other presents she had listed. As she made black lines through each item, she thought about her family. She did not want her father to be worried, her mother sad, or her sister cross. She wanted her whole family, including Picky Picky, to be happy. Ramona studied her crayons, chose a pinky red one because it seemed the happiest color, and printed one more item on her Christmas list to make up for all she had crossed out. One happy family. Beside the words, she drew four smiling faces, and beside them, the face of a yellow cat, also smiling. Ramona wished she had $1 million, so her father would be fun again. There had been many changes in the Quimby household since Mr. Quimby had lost his job, but the biggest change was in Mr. Quimby himself. First of all, Mrs. Quimby found a full-time job working for another doctor, which was good news. However, even a second grader could understand that one paycheck would not stretch as far as two paychecks, especially when there was so much talk of taxes, whatever they were. Mrs. Quimby's new job meant that Mr. Quimby had to be home when Ramona returned from school. Ramona and her father saw a lot of one another. At first, she thought having her father to herself for an hour or two every day would be fun, but when she came home, she found him running the vacuum cleaner, filling out job applications, or sitting on the couch, staring into space. He could not take her to the park because he had to stay near the telephone. Someone might call to offer him a job. Ramona grew uneasy. Maybe he was too worried to love her anymore. One day, Ramona came home to find her father in the living room, drinking warmed-over coffee and staring at the television set. On the screen, a boy a couple of years younger than Ramona was singing, "Forget your pots, forget your pans, it's not too late to change your plans. Spend a little, eat a lot, big fat burgers nice and hot, at your nearest Whopper Burger." Ramona watched him open his mouth wide to bite into a fat cheeseburger with lettuce and tomato spilling out of the bun, and thought wistfully of the good old days when the family used to go to the restaurant on payday and when her mother used to bring home little treats. Stuffed olives, cinnamon buns for Sunday breakfast, a bag of potato chips. That kid must be earning $1 million. He's singing that commercial every time I turn on the television. A boy Ramona's age earning $1 million? Ramona was all interest. How's he earning $1 million? She asked. She had often thought of all the things they could do if they had $1 million, beginning with turning up the thermostat so they wouldn't have to wear sweaters in the house to save fuel oil. Mr. Quimby explained, "They make a movie of him singing the commercial, and every time the movie is shown on television, he gets paid. It all adds up." "Well, This was a new idea to Ramona. She thought it over as she got out her crayons and paper and knelt on a chair at the kitchen table. Singing a song about hamburgers would not be hard to do. She could do it herself. Maybe she could earn $1 million like that boy, so her father would be fun again, and everyone at school would watch her on television and say, "There's Ramona Quimby. She goes to our school." $1 million would buy a cuckoo clock for every room in the house. Her father wouldn't need a job. The family could go to Disneyland. "Forget your pots, forget your pans," Ramona began to sing, as she drew a picture of a hamburger and stabbed yellow dots across the top of the bun for sesame seeds. With $1 million, the Quimbys could eat in a restaurant every day if they wanted to. After that, Ramona began to watch for children on television commercials. She saw a boy eating bread and margarine when a crown suddenly appeared on his head with a fanfare of music. Ta-da! She saw a girl who asked, "Mommy, wouldn't it be nice if caramel apples grew on trees?" And another girl who took a bite of cereal said, "It's good, mm-mm," and giggled. There was a boy who asked at the end of a wiener commercial, "Dad, how do you tell a boy hot dog from a girl hot dog?" And a girl who tipped her head to one side and said, "Pop, pop, pop," as she listened to her cereal. Children crunched potato chips, chomped on pickles, gnawed at fried chicken. Ramona grew particularly fond of the curly-haired little girl saying to her mother at the zoo, "Look, Mommy, the elephant's legs are wrinkled, just like your pantyhose." Ramona could say all those things. Ramona began to practice. Maybe someone would see her and offer her $1 million to make a television commercial.